Gospel of Luke records what is the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" Christmas, a time for giving, a time for getting, a time to rejoice in the good we see. So goes the words of a popular Christmas song. As you unwrapped your presents this morning, was it, "Wow, this is amazing"? Or did you force a smile and push out the words through gritted teeth, "It's just what I've always wanted"? You know, people say that it's the thought that counts when it comes to gift giving. That's until you've left the room, at which point they start trying to work out how they can get rid of that dud for something they really wanted. 3 years ago, the Daily Mail reported that 42% of women returned Christmas gifts from their husbands, who should theoretically know at least, you know, they've got insider knowledge, haven't they? They should at least be able to get it right. But the same study reported that 17% of those who received a gift planned to donate it as an unwanted present. 13% plan to give the unwanted gift to someone else as a gift. That's an idea for you. And 1 in 10 said they would simply throw the unwanted gift away. Well, friends, in the remaining moments, I want to draw your attention to one portion of Scripture where we find the perfect Christmas gift. It communicates perfect love and is not mingled at all with disappointment, sorrow, or loss, but always brings true joy and profound satisfaction to the hearts of all who believe it. I just want to take you to those famous words in John chapter 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him will not perish, but have everlasting life." Friends, the first thing we see here, of course, is that God's gift to us is a gift of love. God so loved the world that he gave. That is what God's love does. It's a giving love. It's a generous love. It's a grace gift of love. And it comes, you know, without any strings attached. The love of God that John is talking about in his gospel has no reference to our merits or our goodness or our deserving. God doesn't make a list and check it twice and find out who's been naughty or nice before he gives his Christmas gift. His Christmas gift is free, undeserved, unsolicited, and unlooked for love. And notice, secondly, that John tells us how to measure this Christmas gift of the love of God. He tells us how to measure God's love. Friends, he tells us two things to do in order to measure the love of God. John, in his gospel, tells us you can measure God's love, first of all, by seeing what it is that God gives. And you can measure it, secondly, by those to whom the gift is given. So you can measure it by what is given, and you can measure it by those to whom it is given. Just let us think, first of all, about what is given. You can measure God's gift of love by what he gives. The gift itself helps us see the dimension of God's love for us. Sometimes our own gifts work in that way. Every now and then, someone will hit on the perfect gift. So thoughtful, so kind. They've obviously spent some time trying to find something or make something or provide something that will touch your heart. And when you open the gift, you're so moved by it. It shows how much they love us. The gift itself is wonderful, but the kindness and the care stands behind the gift is really, you know, so powerful. That's what makes the gift so powerful and so moving. We feel loved when we receive a gift like that. We measure their love by the gift that they have given. And we get a sense of the dimensions, its depth, and its power. And that is never truer, friends, than in the gospel of God for ourselves. God so loved the world that he gave. He gave what? What gift expresses the vast, unmeasured, boundless, free love of Almighty God? What gift could possibly describe the dimensions that God loves has for you? God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Friends, so much is crammed into that phrase, he gave his son. God gave his son to participate in our humanity. Born of a virgin, laid in a manger, bearing our frailty and weakness, our dependence, our vulnerability, our weariness, our sorrow, our tiredness, our pain. God gave his son, friends, to hunger, thirst, to anger and joy, to grief, to loss, to trouble of soul, and agony of body. God gave his son to sin bearing, so that he who knew no sin would be made sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God gave his son to the cross, that in that cross, bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood. You see, friends, he came as a substitute. He came to die in the sinner's place. And nothing can serve as a full, perfect explanation of the love of God for any of us but Jesus Christ. Born in a stable, living in obscurity, dying in shame, rising in victory the third day, death couldn't hold him, and now reigning in glory for you and for me. How much did God love? God so loved the world that he gave his son. Give him to that manger, give him to the rejection of the people, give him to the injustice of Pilate, give him to the nails driven into his hands and feet. Friends, you've got to realize that over that manger is the shadow of the cross. Because this babe came to die. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. You can measure the love of God by the gift he has given. He has given his son, his only son, the only son whom he loves. And then secondly, you can measure the love of God, not just by the gift, but by those to whom the gift is given. Friends, listen to the text again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. See that little phrase, for God so loved? What's the object of his love? For God so loved the world. You see upon whom the love of God is fixed. You see who he gives his son for. Gives his son for a world that has rejected him, a world that shakes its fist in his face. You know, those words, when we read them, should really take our breath away. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. They're almost scandalous, outrageous. And that word, that little phrase, the world, you know, as John uses it in his gospel, uses it in a very specific way. For us, for the most part, when we use the term the world, we use it very often in a way to talk about, you know, the whole world, everybody in the world. We see it as a numerical thing. But see, when you come to this phrase in John 3, verse 16, John doesn't use it in that numerical way, that distributive way. John uses it in a very specific way. When he uses the phrase world, he's using the world to refer to ethical, moral dimensions, not just numbers. So when he uses the world, he's talking about a world who says to God, I don't want you. He's talking about a world that says to God, you know, we don't want you to be in charge. We'll be in charge ourselves. And we'll set the rules. He's talking about a world that says, we don't want you, the Creator God, to be king. Just let me give you a couple of quick examples from John's Gospel to back that up. In the prologue of John's Gospel, it says the Word, referring to Jesus, comes into the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. John 3, verse 19, just a few verses further on from the verse we're looking at the minute. It says, light, referring to Jesus, has come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light. It's crazy. Men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. Give people a choice between a life that is fulfilling and contented and happy and joyful in Christ, or what the world offers you, all the emptiness. And they take what the world offers, because they prefer darkness rather than light. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, friends, is stunning. He loves the world that shakes its puny little fist in his face. And friends, nothing compelled God to love us. His love is so staggering, not because the world is such a big place, but friends, because the world is such a bad place. And God looks at every one of us, and his estimation of us, and it's only his estimation that counts, his estimation is that there's none good, no, not one. And that's why he sends his son, because none of us are good. And there was only one good enough to pay the price of sin. And that was his own son, Jesus Christ. That's why the cross is so significant in Christianity. Because on the cross, a transaction takes place. He who knew no sin doesn't know any of the wrong that characterizes your life, any of the sin that characterizes your life or my life. And yet on the cross, Jesus Christ, who knew none of that, he becomes that. He takes the punishment. And the transaction takes place. My guilt transferred to him, his righteous life, his good life transferred to me. So friends, how do you respond to that wonderful verse? Because it demands a response. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes, it demands that response. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So whoever believes has heaven. That's the promise. That's the good news. Believe in Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. That's the message of the scriptures. That's the good news for Christmas. The greatest gift ever given, offered freely, unconditionally, to all who believe. Have you accepted God's love gift this Christmas? Or are you going to just pass it by? You know, it's the height of rudeness, isn't it, if somebody gives you a gift and you don't thank them for it. And here's an amazing gift, and it demands a response. We just can't give it away. We just can't chuck it. We'll have to respond to it, friends, because you need a Savior and I need a Savior. And Jesus Christ is the Savior who has been provided. So this Christmas morning, when we center our thoughts upon the incarnation of Jesus Christ, run to him. Because in him you find full, free pardon and forgiveness. What a gift. The love of God in Jesus Christ for a dark, rebellious world. And may it be yours this Christmas and always. Amen.